Sportscast, June 25th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest in sports news. This episode is brought to you by Insta Bible App. You can download the Insta Bible App on the iOS App Store. The NFL cancels the Hall of Fame game in August, and also the enshrinement is postponed. It was reported this morning by Adam Schefter, NFL's greatest insider, that the preseason opening game hosted in Canton, Ohio, the Pro Football Hall of Fame on August 6th is being canceled, and the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony is being postponed. And to flesh things out, someone that's close to Chris Berman, Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, is good to be here. Good to be on the Sportscast. Here as we approach the month of July. Yes, got wind this morning that the Hall of Fame game was canceled, which is should be no shock. You know, it's kind of an extra preseason game.
But doesn't that show weakness from the NFL? Like, that's saying, well, that could happen to preseason games and possibly the regular season.
I think it's scary, I think, in the sense of what, you know, well, I guess you'll see if they cancel any more preseason games. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they move preseason games to, you know, definitely, you know, make them close to the public for sure and just kind of make them more like scrimmage, you know, where, yeah. But it'll be good practice to see what type of protocols they're going to use for a regular season. But in terms of this preseason game, you know, not a big deal. The enshrinement being postponed is sad for the people getting into the Hall of Fame, you know, and for the city of Canton, which I know thrives on this weekend, and they do a great job putting on a show. But hopefully they'll pick a time where these players could get the recognition they deserve.
The Hall of Fame game was going to be featured between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was going to be the preseason opener for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. It was going to be a good game, but, you know, these Hall of Fame games are not that exciting. A lot of these players play it safe, not in the main stars play, but is this a big loss, or you think it's just, it's okay. We could just postpone it for next year.
It's actually one of the most anticipated games to watch players who'll never play again. You know, you wouldn't see Dak Prescott in this game. You probably wouldn't even see his backup in the game. It's usually the third and fourth stringers, you know, who play majority of this game. Because, it's an extra preseason game. It means the Cowboys and Steelers will play five preseason games where everybody else plays four. Again, preseason games, you'd take it safe anyways. And this is – you would take it very, very safe because you wouldn't even have much time to practice. So, again, this is it's an added opportunity for those players trying to make a roster. But other than that, it's not a big loss.
Yeah,
if you remember that Santiago a couple years ago, you had the Hall of Fame game postponed, you know, because of field condition. So again, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, and like you were saying, this brings a opportunity for players to make a roster spot, but not just that, possibly a practice squad spot.
Yes, you know, again, we're not talking about, you know, but you know, I think one thing you got to understand too. You know, when we talk about baseball in a few minutes, we'll talk about the taxi squad. But I think I'm going to say NFL instituted a bigger practice squad for players this year because, A, you're not just dealing with injuries, you're dealing with, you know, positive test results, you know, for players. You got to have enough surplus players, you know, ready to go at a moment's notice.
Something to definitely look at. Ryan's not too sad about the Hall of Fame thing, but it kind of brings some red flags for me personally. Maybe not, but like I said, I don't care if the preseason season is canceled completely and we'll just start in September. I have been hearing a lot of close sources that NFL is going to start on time. They're not going to push this back to October or even November. They want to start on time, but I could definitely see a preseason.
Well, in regards to that, you know, we're going to – I think when a lot of times, you know, you geared up for even NFL preseason in August because there's not a whole lot of else going on other than just baseball. But this fall, you know, you got a lot of, you know, you'll have the NHL, NBA going on, hopefully. So, you know, we're not going to miss, you know, this game or even preseason football in general is going to get, I think, lower ratings than normal because there's so many other important things going on.
something to definitely look at. NFL always, you know, a couple of news this past couple of weeks, and that's one of the big ones.
NFL course, season never goes away, Santiago.
It never goes away. Other than that, Zeke Elliott got the coronavirus, but I think he'll be all right.
I think we're going to find a lot of people here soon.
But yeah, we're going to find a little bit more. Anyways, let's go to baseball. One of the biggest news of this week, the MLBPA agreed Tuesday to report to camps by July 1st for a 60-game season and agreed with owners on health and health protocols for the season's restart. Ryan, I didn't see this day coming, but it came to pass.
I didn't either, but it was kind of forced and kind of awkward. You know, they never really came to an agreement in the sense of, you know, what they were talking about. Basically, what led to this is all the players are down in Florida or Arizona training at the facilities while they're waiting for an agreement. And all of a sudden, you got all these people testing positive in these facilities. So now they got to get a deal going because, you know, if these players are hanging around there, they're going to catch the virus, you know. So we'll get a deal done. We'll get them up to the cities, you know, their playing cities, and get them, you know, in the stadiums practicing instead of down in Florida and Arizona, you know, away from the training camp facility. So they're going to do their spring training 2.0, they're calling this, in their home cities rather than down in the spring training facilities. It's kind of like, you know, you're taking a family picture of your relative you don't really like. This is, you know, kind of, you know, no one's happy. No one really got what they wanted, you know, which was kind of what was leading up to it. But basically, the commissioner basically used the executive power and said, we're starting to, you know, report on July 1st, 60 games, take it or leave it. That's it, you know, and players, you're going to get the full salary for 60 games. So basically the proposal they agreed on in March that the owners tried to, you know, change, that's what they're going to go with. So,
yeah. And of course the commissioner Renfro definitely made some headlines. I didn't know his name, but he definitely made some headlines in the sports.
Yeah. Most, you know, I mean, I,
most people know his name by now.
Yeah. Rob Manfred, you know, this was not his shining light. It was, nor was it Tony Clark for the PA for the players. Everybody took some, you know, negative light, because this is, you know, this is the worst scenario when you've got billionaires and millionaires fighting, you know, in the midst of this pandemic. So not a good look, you know, where other sports like basketball and NHL were able to come together and relatively peaceful and get a deal done to restart the season. The difference in the NHL and NBA, they got most of their salaries already this year because they played 75% of the season already. Where the MLB, they're trying to recoup as much money as possible during the season. So it's a little bit of a different scenario, but there's always and will always be, you know, angst between the owners and players in baseball. Forever, whatever reason, they've never been peaceful. And there's definitely,
yeah, that's something that I think, which we've been talking about for the past few weeks, actually, that now we know which union is the most complicated one.
Yeah. I mean, I think baseball, the problem is that I don't think Tony Clark is a good union rep. You know, for years, the players are led by a strong unity force. But this year, I don't know. Like, and I guess it's different circumstances, but I don't think the players were unified in their efforts. And definitely owners and, you know, Rob Manfred, you know, they couldn't agree on what they wanted to get done. So when the sides aren't unified, it's not a good situation. But, you know, like you said, they got a deal going. It seems like the players are okay with it, you know, but we don't know any of the safety protocols. Like, they agreed on stuff, but nothing's really come out on, you know, what it's going to look like and what their bubble is going to look like. But
I've been hearing a lot of social distancing will happen, I heard, within the facilities. So that's something that is a positive thing.
Yeah, I think you'll definitely see that. You'll definitely see some sort of bubble when they're traveling, you know. So what we do know, it's a 60-game season, 40 games against your division. So 10 games against each team in your division and 20 games against one series against the five closest teams that from your proximity that aren't in your division. So that'll make up the 60 games.
Yeah, and which the season will start around July 24th. The last hurdle, an agreement of health protocols, was clear Tuesday night. So plus 3+ months after spring training was – okay, so All remaining issues have been resolved. Okay, so baseball, everyone, like the camps will be open on July 1st, then get back into playing July 24th. That would have put a damper towards the Korean Baseball League, wouldn't it?
It is going to make the viewership go down. You know, I don't think people are going to be dying to getting up at 2:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning to watch Korean League Baseball anymore. And I wouldn't be surprised if ESPN stopped showing it because there's really no need to show it anymore.
Hey, it was a short-term contract, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I think they just really just agreed to show up to 6 games a week. So, I mean, they still have the right for it. I'm not quite sure if it was a long-term deal or short-term deal for the season. But I guess it's positive for, you know, baseball to get back. You know, are they going to be able to restore the public's
confidence, trust?
Confidence, yes. You know, it was definitely damaged. You know, even though they got a deal done, I feel like it was 3 or 4 weeks too late. You know, people are done, you know. and again, you're going into the hornet's nest of, in a sense of going against, you know, NBA and then eventually, you know, going into the start of the NFL season. So I don't know what it's going to, you know.
And also golf.
Golf, yeah. You know,
golf will be in the mix in the fall. Issues, the fall's going to be pretty packed with sports, not just
yeah, you football, know, it's definitely, you know. We're used to just baseball, having football. But... Yeah, used to just having football and baseball, but, you know, we'll, and, you know, the MLS, but you'll have that still going on, hopefully, you know, when they restart the regular season there. But, yeah, so fall's going to be awesome. If everything goes well, San Diego, there's still some.
It'll be pretty packed. Of course, they – but, like, MLB never discussed, like, the fans, how many people can enter, or is it pretty much the empty stadiums? Or?
I think that's going to be known that there won't be any fans.
No hot dogs.
I get, yeah. I think, you know, that was just kind of, like, what they had to do, you know, get an agreement done. I mean, because you have different states. Like, what, Texas – as of right now, is letting 25% of stadiums in. And I think that was with the hopes to have fans in Houston and for the Texas Rangers. And hopefully, you know, by time football season, hopefully it'll be 50% at least for the Cowboys and college football. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Let's head into the NBA. NBA hires World Wide West as of it will be a advisor. He'll play the executive vice president slash senior advisor. He has experience with a consultant in the coaching division. What are your thoughts about this hire? Is this a fresh breath air since Phil Jackson left?
The Knicks are going with a whole different way of doing things. Hopefully more of Leon Rott wrote. And World Wide West, unless a James Dolan, I think, is what the Knicks need. You know, they need an image rebrand. You know, for many years, the Knicks were the iconic team, especially in the Eastern Conference. You could play in Madison Square Garden. Everybody wanted to play them. But throughout the years, they've been coming a laughing stock. You know, every time, you know, they gear up, they make these roster adjustments to basically be able to sign these big free agents because they think they're the Knicks and that's going to sell. But what happened to free agency, Santiago? Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, where did they go?
Brooklyn Nets, across town. Across river, but it was across town.
So I think, you know, James Dolan understands he needs to take a lesser role. He needs a different, you know, voice in the organization. And that's why you go out and you hire a famous agent in Leon Rose and World by West, you know, and just different people who are kind of in this, I don't know the better way of saying cool in the terms of the NBA, you know?
Yeah. Bring back what New York used to be back in the 90s and 80s, 70s, even the early 2000s where players wanted to go to New York. Has to bring some type of attraction. You know, of course, they have R.J. Barrett. I think that's where they're going to build around him. But I really do see some promises with this team. But, you know, proof is in the pudding, just like what I say always.
Yes, you know, but, you know, first you got to hire a coach here, which I think they will in the next couple weeks, which will be interesting to
see. How about Mark Jackson? I've been thinking about this lately. Would he be a good fit?
I think that would be great, Santiago. He is New York. He is Mr. New York.
He loves the organization. The area.
Loves the organization, you know, one of the, you know, just, I don't know. When you think of New York City basketball, you think of Mark Jackson, you know, yeah. Best point guard to come out of New York.
And but maybe, you know, guards, if you want to come out like of that blacklist that Iguodala said about him, New York would be a good spot.
Yeah, it'd be great. You know, I think he got an unfair rep in Golden State. He's the one who kind of built the foundation for the Warriors, and Steve Kerr kind of finished it off, you know?
Yeah, he just came in that first year and won a championship. It's quite impressive, but, you know, impressive, isn't it?
The little change of, you know, way they do things offensively, X's and O's wise, but I think Mark Jackson did a great job of building the confidence of Steph and Clay, you know, kind of building the framework of what the Warriors are today. So I think he isn't a bad coach. So, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if I go another point guard and Jason Kidd, you know, another player-friendly coach. So
another rumor. Yeah, Jason Kidd is available right now. I think he's an assistant with the Lakers, isn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, basically that was Magic Johnson, you know, essentially saying Jason Kidd will be an assistant coach, you know, whether Frank Vogel wanted him or not. But
which that was part of the deal, you know, for Frank Vogel to sign.
Yes. Which usually a head coach has the ability to put together his own staff. So that was unique in that case. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's, you know, they're trying. I think they're going to do something splashy, but we'll see.
You know, which I'll probably do a Twitter poll soon. Who should the Knicks pick as coach? I'm going to put Mark Jackson and also Kidd. And I need two more choices, but I'll definitely like, we'll definitely come up with it before.
Yeah, you know, they've interviewed some, you know, I think some more under the radar practical coaches, you know, who will probably be good, i.e., you know, a Frank Vogel, who's doing a fantastic job with the Lakers, you know, who I wouldn't be surprised.
Avery Johnson,
even a Mike Brown, Santiago, kind of an underrated coach.
He's available. That's right. He's available. I mean, there's the coaches out there that need a second chance. I like Mark Jackson, though. I really like that vibe, but I don't know how blacklisted is he, you know, what Andre Iguodala said last year during his book, but we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, I'm definitely, we all need the Knicks to be relevant again, Santiago. It'll be nice.
Yeah. Hey, and they got a big budget, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I mean, whatever happens in the NBA restart, we don't know, but what is going to be the most exciting 2 weeks is that short little stop right after the season. You got the NBA draft, free agency starts right away. It's going to be awesome, Santiago. You know, I think the NBA free agency is one of the most exciting times in sports.
It is pretty exciting, maybe a little bit more than the NFL, but NFL kind of drags it out for weeks.
The NFL, because you got a little players aren't typically always free agents because you do have the you can franchise tag players where you don't have that in the NBA, you know, so, and players just have so much power in the NBA, like, more compared to the NFL. So, you know, players can kind of dictate even under contract where they can go and where they don't go, which could kind of lead into, you know, Mr. Jamal Adams of the NFL, though, you know, kind of dictating where he wants to go.
We'll get there soon. Avery Johnson not playing, J.R. Smith with the Lakers, is that – something Lakers are going to miss Avery or
Avery Bradley, not Avery Johnson.
Avery Bradley. Yes. Yes. Quick thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, Avery Bradley,
30 seconds.
Avery Bradley was a key player, not necessarily of his staff, but he's one of the best on ball defenders in the NBA. You know, you can take on the other team's best scorers when you talk about the defending, you know, what I think is the second best team in the Western Conference, the Clippers, when they're playing a full set. You're definitely going to miss him. J.R. Smith, which is a nice player, you know, to pick up at this time.
But he hasn't played in a year. But he's probably doing better with injuries.
And at his best, he's not dependable. But when he is on his best,
likes him. You know,
yeah. And what we learned about J.R. Smith the last couple of years, don't mess with his car.
Exactly. That's something I would definitely look at. But, of course, the NBA season.
While we're on the talk of the NBA, you know, I think there's this kind of fear coming over yesterday afternoon, you know, who's going to opt out of not playing. And basically you only have three players opting out of the restart, which is kind of good news for the NBA. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had, you know, with that big phone call, Kyrie and the players. Oh, they had to say it by yesterday, Santiago. If they're gonna play or not.
Well, that's not bad.
So basically, if you tell them you're not playing now, then you could face consequences. If you let them know by yesterday, it was basically, obviously you don't get paid, but you know, you're not going to face any consequences from your team. And, you know, you're still in the good graces of the NBA. But after yesterday, you know, you could face a fine by not showing up for your team. So
you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences. Brooks Koepka, the number 4 ranked golfer in the world, is pulling out of the Travelers Championship after his caddy tested positive for coronavirus. Brooks, one of the greatest golf players in the world, number 4. Is that too, you know, was that like too brief of a decision? Do you think he could just got another caddy, or do you think he really needs that caddy?
I think it has to do with just being close. You know, I think he's out of respect to the other golfers. It just kind of makes sense because if he's close, he's been with his caddy a lot and his caddy tested positive, that there's a good chance, you know, that he's, you know, carrying it, or, you know, could carry it to somebody else. So I think that's why you see a lot of people, you know, Webb Simpson, who won the tournament last week, his caddy was diagnosed, and then so he pulled out. So I think that six, seven golfers pull out of this week's tournament. So I think they were almost at the point of canceling it last week, but yesterday, you know, the commissioner of the PGA said, you know, we're going to go on, you know, everybody, you know, if you're in the bubble, you know, they were kind of lenient on the rules, I think, that they came up with the PGA, but now, you know, there'll be stiffer consequences for people who break the social distancing rules while competing in the tournaments.
Maybe they should pull like the match where they did a few it was a month ago with Tom Brady, just have the golf players carry their own equipment. Anyways, let's go into the Jets. New York Jets head coach Adam Gase is reportedly a major factor in Jamal Adams' displeasure. Never a dull day in the life of a New York Jets fan. Of course, Jamal Adams is requesting a trade. Do you think Gase is the issue, or do you think this is just hype?
No, I think Gase – I don't – I mean, you – maybe I don't – I think Gase is a good coach, but he's kind of – he's not a player's coach, Santiago.
He's kind of awkward, isn't he?
He is awkward. He's got those weird eye stares that kind of made him trending a couple years ago. But yeah, I don't know. I think he isn't that guy, that, you know, player friendly coach that, you know, players like to necessarily play for. But
doesn't mean he's
a bad coach. he's probably not a Les Miles that Jamal Adams played for in college, but. I don't know if that's a big deal. I don't know if it's just Jamal Adams seeing that.
But will,
you know,
the Jets let him go that easy?
If he doesn't want to play, you know, he's one of the premier players in the NFL right now at his position. So, you know, you could get good value from it. You won't get the value that you got. You're not going to get a number three pick, which you picked him at. But you're going to be able to at least get a first-round pick for him in the future. Or, you know, a starter right away from another team. Because I think we talked about this last week. San Diego, he's on a rookie contract still. He doesn't make very much money. And he's saying wherever he goes, he's not going to demand an extension, which a lot of players, when they want to get traded, is because they don't like the contract they're playing for. And they demand that the new team already give them a new deal when they get traded to, which he isn't. So, you know, that's why you circle the Dallas Cowboys, which he's kind of mentioned, because – we said that last week, that team is loaded salary cap-wise for the future, and you bring in a cap-friendly guy like Jamal Adams, that window is not big, but they're definitely a Super Bowl contender if you bring in a player like him to the team. Because he is one of the best. Yeah, or the Steelers, you know. I mean, they stole Micah Fitzpatrick last year from the Dolphins, you know, and ended up having a Pro Bowl year. You know, you bring in another safety like that, and that's going to turn into one of the best secondaries in football for sure. Basically, I don't know how bad it is in the Jets locker room, but it doesn't sound good, Santiago. Because you got other, you know, tough players to coach, like Le'Veon Bell in that roster on the other side of the ball. So it's not a good situation for Adam Gase. And I think Jamal Adams basically say, I want to go and play for a winner, basically.
Never a dull moment in the New York Jets organization. Big news today. Pretty sad, bittersweet. Vince Carter retires after 22 seasons. he announced today at the Winging It podcast. And he said, I'm officially done playing basketball professionally. The day has come, Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, Vince Sanity, what a career, you know. I mean, you watch him play last year at 40 years old plus. I don't know, was it 41, 42? I don't know what it was, but yeah, obviously wasn't playing at a high level, but he still was playing pretty decent for his age. And, you know, the during his prime, you know, no one could jump like him, you know, his ability to score, you know. He kind of took that, you know, early years, took the Raptors on his back and, you know, single-handedly got him to the playoffs each and every year, you know. Kind of always that guy who could make a difference in the organization, maybe not a top 10 player, you know, not a Kevin Durant, not a LeBron James, but, you know, a consistent career who has never really hit rock bottom age-wise, you know. He just kept on, you know, ticking.
He was battered with a lot of injuries. That was his issue.
Yes. But, you know, he stepped up with Orlando. Playing, you know. And I think, you know, he's, especially later in his career, he didn't demand to go to a championship team. He went to a team like the Hawks last year who had absolutely no chance to win. And he loved this role of being, you know, being able to train the Trae Young, you know, being that professional in the locker room. That
which might be a secret to prolong your career, go to bad teams.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know. I don't know. Maybe it would be nice if he got released from the Hawks so he can join one of these teams out here in the playoffs. You know,
that's true. You know. Maybe like the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean.
Win a chip before he goes.
Here, you know, it's going to be, I think, while we're right back before the end, finished up, we'll go to the NBA. I just, again, it'd be interesting this week to see what players get signed. You know, which players are Jamal Crawford. We just saw Corey Brewer sign with the Kings. Which one of these veteran players that haven't played this year fill up these roster spots now that the teams can expand, you know, their roster? So what way is it, you know, is it going to fill the roster? Because, again, you have to be prepared for positive tests in your camp. So and you lose a player for 2 weeks, you know, the game's still going to continue, and that's kind of what they're going for. So
the best of luck to Vince Carter. My words is he always will be remembered as a Toronto Raptor legend. Poll question of the day. How do you have your catfish fried, baked, crispy baked, or Louisiana Cajun baked?
Well, I've never had catfish in my life, Santiago. I'm not a fish person, but yeah, I kind of like that last one, Cajun baked. So I had to choose my chicken. That's how I like it.
Fried is winning at 66%. Baked and Cajun baked is tied for 60.7%. And crispy baked at 0. Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Lucky Charms?
Lucky Charms. But I wouldn't turn down Cinnamon Toast Crunch though either. Another solid cereal.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is winning at 84%. Lucky Charms at 15.4%. Of course, I'm not surprised. I will pick Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the greatest cereal of all time. Predictions for today, Chelsea versus Man City. If Chelsea wins or ties his game, Liverpool wins the league, Premier League championship.
I let's go Chelsea. I think, you know, it'll be good. I guess they're both good teams, but, you know, obviously, you know, that it wasn't very exciting in this restart of the EPL because Liverpool is so far above everybody.
Yeah,
else,
they were just like a couple of games away. I mean, we're like two literally right now. Give us a score.
2-0 Chelsea.
Wow, that's a lot, by the way. Everyone's saying because Man City's looking good still. So, but yeah, you're right. I think, you know, how Liverpool, you know, it was kind of like it was a weird restart because we know the winner, but I guess we'll find out. Who will be the other?
I mean, what you're really playing for, you know, who's advancing in Champions League, you know, who gets relegated. So that's basically, we already know who is going to be the champion. But.
And lastly, it has been determined about a few minutes ago that New Zealand and Australia will be hosting the Women's World Cup 2023. Colombia came in and was a bidder host, but they came in second. So New Zealand and Australia will be hosting the World Cup in 2023, which raises the chances for USA to host it in 2027.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be good for we'll start 2023. I think choosing those team, the continent, you know, down there, Australia, New Zealand is good because I think they play a good brand of women's football down there. They're a good team, so, and I think they have good fans down there. But exactly. Yes, that's good to get. Good to get the Women's World Cup back in the United States. So obviously, I think we have the best facilities and the best – we'll get good viewership, you know, so
hey, in our game. They could always look at the Rochester stadiums. I know they're at tip-top shape. Ryan Christo, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about cereal?
That's a Mad Dog Report 18 on Twitter. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens here. As we, next time we talk, we'll see where we are in the NBA, you know, where we are in college football. So unnerving times, but we'll see what happens. So
there's late breaking news. Mavs have interest, like Dallas Mavericks have interest in signing in point guard Trey Burke before NBA's restart. Quick thoughts
about that? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, you know, they lost Jalen Brunson, their backup point guard. So bringing in, you know, like I said, which of these vet, you know, there's a bunch of players who haven't played this year or free agents or, you know, been cut who are going to fill up these roster spots and, you know, the expanded roster spots for the playoffs. And Trey Burke, NBA veteran, you know, played for the Mavericks a couple.
You got your blessing.
Yeah, played for the Mavericks. Yeah, got my blessing. Yes. Played for them a couple years ago. He was actually involved in the Porzingis trade. But, you know, so he ended up back in New York last year and was released before the season started.
And, of course, you can follow all those news at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be posting a poll soon, either today or tomorrow, about who should be the next coach. I say Mark Jackson. Ryan says Jason Kidd. But, hey, you know, anything's good enough for the Knicks. Ryan Christo, always a pleasure.
Santiago, it's good to be on. And
what's the best way to reach you? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. At the
Mad Dog Report. I already asked that question.
Yes. It's all good. It's all good, Santiago.
Another sportscast day, NBA, MLB. A lot of sports are scrunched in because of the coronavirus. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless.